In memory of Nate Hodges, he's not dead, he's just out today. It's that time of the day of the week. It's Davey Hudson. It's the Depot. It's Davey's Depot. The Davey Depot. Depot. It's De La Davey.
The Davey Depot. No, not Davey's Depot.
I said all the names. No, I said all. I was doing the list of all the different things that it could be.
Cool.
I said it in French. Le Davey Depot.
Good to know.
Le Depot de Davey.
Anyway, I told people I would give them some rundown on things to do while in Omaha. I've been asked if I'm going to Omaha.
What was the first thing you gave yesterday?
I talked about the Reuben sandwich being invented.
That's right.
Omaha.
I got a little pushback on that. Apparently, there's a underground legend that it was actually invented in Knoxville.
Really?
That's what Bear said.
Oh, so it's not true then. Good to know. All right. Moving on.
He gave credit. He said Harold's Deli, which I don't know where that is. Is it still a deli?
I don't know.
There literally used to be a Harold's Deli in Kodak, Tennessee, that closed like 4 years ago. I don't know if Harold started in Knoxville, but who knows?
Anyway, people are asking if I am going to Omaha. And listen, I'm not taking time off work to go to Omaha. No offense to anyone who lives in Omaha or is making that trip. And I'll be supporting the boys from afar.
I would love to go. The problem is, if you go to the first weekend and Tennessee wins, you got to be in Omaha for like
2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
I think it's just a week. It's like 13 days or something for the whole thing. It's crazy.
Well, if you're looking to kill some time while in Omaha, Nebraska, you could visit the Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium.
Aquarium?
Yeah, it's.
I feel like that's a pretty big deal.
It's apparently one of the world's best zoos.
Granted, this
is according to visitomaha.com.
Might be a little.
Maybe take it with a grain of salt.
A little bias there. Please visit us. This is the best zoo of all time. We promise.
But what they do say is that it is the world's largest, or has the world's largest indoor desert, world's largest glazed geodesic dome, which I have not looked up. So if anyone knows what a geodesic dome is, please inform me.
Like a geode?
Surely not.
Geodesic dome.
Not like in the core when they go into that geode and it's.
Or the Congo. The diamond geode?
Yeah.
A geodesic dome is a hemispherical thin shell structure based on a geodesic polyhedron. The triangular elements of the dome are structurally rigid and distribute the structural stress throughout the structure, making geodesic domes able to withstand very heavy loads for their size.
Probably because of the amount of snowfall they probably have. I will say this, in fairness to visitomaha.com, according to roadaffair.com, it is the fifth best zoo in the country. Even ahead of San Diego Zoo, which is like, I thought was the gold standard. They have
That's
it
where
at
Ming
seventh.
Ling was giving birth.
Panda Watch. They rank Philadelphia Zoo. I would have never guessed that. Never would have thought Philadelphia would have the best zoo. Philly, the Bronx Zoo, Oakland Zoo, Miami, and then Omaha 5.
They also apparently have the world's largest indoor rainforest. So
the world's largest indoor desert and indoor rainforest? Is anything outside at the zoo?
And geodesic dome.
Good for them.
Well, I mean, I feel like you
got to have things
to
do
have
outside
it
of the baseball game.
If you're going to replicate the environment.
Yeah. I'd like to see how big these things are.
Sounds expensive, though, you know?
Well, they got all that Omaha dollar from the World Series, I guess. How about that?
That's your fact of the day.
According to
Omaha.
ScenicStates.com, Omaha Zoo is ranked number one. So maybe
that's probably
not
what they're actually basing it off of then.
Well, this magazine, this one time, it's like Alabama's national championships.
They got a chairlift over a lake.
What? It's like Disneyland or something? Okay, I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to go to that zoo.
That's inside the geodesic dome, I'd imagine.
That looks like where they had the pterodactyls in Jurassic Park 3. All right.
I'm trying to think back to Jurassic Park 3.
Wasn't it 3? It's where Grant came back and the kid was lost and they had to go find him.
Was it like a parasailing accident?
Isn't
that the third one?
Parasailing. I know there was.
It was like the kid.
Yeah.
Okay. And like the boat goes into the clouds, and then whenever they end up panning back, like a dinosaur like ate whoever was driving the boat or something
like
that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And the kid crashes. I don't remember that one too well. That was
Kirby.
Maybe like 2001.
I don't know.
Now I'm curious.
It wasn't very good.
Jurassic Park 3. 2001. Damn, I'm good. All right. Moving along, my banger of the day.
As he looks to the screen for help again.
Which I usually do, but I'm not doing that today. I'm going to pull something from memory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. He says that, and then he struggles.
No, it's okay. It's memory. I like that. I like that better.
I'm trying to think of something. I don't want to pick a Creed song because that's too easy. Yeah.
Too easy.
What's something that just gets the people going?
Sandstorm?
Well, I could have just... Now I can't get Blades of Glory out of my head where he does My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas. He's like... but then they use...
What was that, 2005?
Blades of Glory?
No, My Humps.
Oh, yeah, that was probably 2005. But then they cut that part of the movie out and they put it in the song Bleeps in Paris by Kanye West.
So are either of these your banger of the day?
We'll just put them both as the banger of the day, even though I'm not going to play either one on the other side. But they're both good songs.
Mm-mm.
Takes me back to like, mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm. Has to.
So My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas and Bleeps in Paris by Kanye West. Those are your bangers for today.
Duly noted.
Yeah. Gambling update. Last night went 1-1. The Jazz did let me down. The Giants came through for me.
Guess which one I took.
The Jazz.
Yeah.
They struggled like no other. That game was over in the first. And it's so weird because that series between the Clippers and the Mavericks in round one, a home team did not win until game seven. The road team won every game through the first six. But now, for this series, the home teams are the only ones that have won. So that series is tied at 2-2. Game five will be coming up later on this week. But I don't know, at least the series right now, I think you get a lot of tied. The three left are all tied. Clippers and Jazz, as I just mentioned, they're tied at 2-2. The 76ers lost last night after blowing like an 18-point lead to the Hawks. Shout out Cam Black. I'm pretty sure he was in attendance for that, and I'm glad he got to watch his team get a win. That one's tied 2-2. The Suns in four. I don't know if you guys have seen that video.
The fan.
I'll get to that in a second. But the Suns got the sweep over the Nuggets, so that one's over. And then the other series, which actually happens tonight between Milwaukee and Brooklyn, they're tied at 2-2. But Brooklyn is going to be without James Harden and Kyrie Irving, so it'll be interesting to see what they're able
to do. Yeah, what happened to Kyrie?
Ankle.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I don't have any NBA picks for tonight. That's the only game, but I don't feel confident with Brooklyn being as bad as they are. The number for the over-under has been set pretty low with that latest news.
Bucks only a 4.5-point favorite.
It's in Brooklyn, man, and they've been pretty bad on the road this series. So I just
figured it'd be more with
I think it might
Kyrie
get
and Harden out.
Drawn up, or it might end up moving more in the Bucks' favor, but I don't know, man. Like, as bad as they've been playing in Brooklyn those first two games, I can see why the numbers kind of set where it's at. But my one pick for tonight, we got a hockey pick. We're going with over five in the Islanders-Lightning game. Islanders took game one 2-1. I expect Tampa Bay to really bounce back and expect that one to be a more high-scoring affair than their previous matchup.
Would you take over 5.5?
No.
Would you take under 5.5?
No.
Or just leave it?
No. I like
leave it is.
Yeah, if you can't get it at 5, because at worst, I feel like with a 5, you're going to get a push, but I don't like the odds enough to where I would...
Go one way or the other.
Yeah. I would try to find something to where you can at least rely on that push if it comes down to it. That way, like, if it goes to overtime at 2-2, you automatically are at least not losing your money.
Right.
So, yeah, don't... That line's probably moving towards... Getting up to 5-5. What are the odds at 5? Is it like plus like 134 at 5.5?
Plus 118.
Oh, okay. So
no, I'm sorry. Plus 134. I was looking at the wrong game. Plus 134.
Okay. So yeah, but try to get in it over five if you can get it. If you can't get it over five, just don't touch it. That's another misconception a lot of people make when it comes to gambling. They're just like, I feel like I got to get action on it one way or another. It's like, no, if you don't like the numbers, don't risk it. Just use the
analytics.
Write
that down, Hickman. Don't risk it.
I understand it's gambling. You're going to lose some, but don't
take dumb decisions. This is a casino.
Yeah. Anyway, what did I mention I was about to get into?
The Suns fan.
Oh, so there was a fight at the Suns Nuggets game, and it really is pretty remarkable how the Suns fan ended up winning this fight whenever you look at the disadvantages that he had. It was essentially 2-on-1 for a second. The Nuggets fan had the high ground.
In a stadium fight,
yeah,
that is gold. I mean, in any historic battle, the high ground is gold. But in hand-to-hand combat, I mean, the seats between them, you're punching down, they got to swing high. It's almost a lock.
So two Nuggets fans got into it. Really, as one Nugget fan and his friend got into it with a Suns fan. And obviously, no one has the very, very beginning of the argument as far as what I've seen on social media, but they get into an altercation verbally to begin with, and then something happens to where the one Nugget fan separates his buddy and the Suns fan. Then, as they're kind of talking, it looks like things are going to calm down. The Nuggets fan tries to go with a sucker punch to the Suns fan. I think it might connect, but it doesn't really do anything to him. And so then the Suns fan just lays into the Nuggets fan, while with the Nuggets fan having the high ground, and the Nuggets fan, terrible haircut. Like he had a bowl cut.
Like
bad.
Who's my boy at in Oakland? Well, now in Vegas. Davis. Little Davis, the
Oh, Mark Davis.
Mark Davis, yeah. Like that kind of bowl cut?
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
Do you ever have a bowl cut?
No. Never had that.
I think I did.
The worst I had haircut wise that I just like hated was I got a burr when I was really young.
What's a burr?
Burr.
What's that?
It's like just
shave it?
Shave it, okay, pretty much, yeah. It was rough. I did not like it.
I always called that a buzz cut. You ever called it a burr?
That is some really weird Lenore City type stuff.
I'm not saying it's not called that. I just always, I'd never heard burr cut.
Let's see here.
Burr.
Get a burr. I think I'm saying it right.
I just always thought it was buzz.
Burr cut.
How you spell it? Two R's, one R?
Let's see here. There's a...
B-H-U-R-R. I don't know.
Is it German?
There's a
burr.
Burr. It sounds German.
It says burr cut versus buzz cut. Is there a difference?
Final answer.
A burger. Now they say this is 15 best buzz cut styles for men 2020, according to Men's Health.
There's 15 different buzz cuts?
Apparently. Like an induction buzz cut style, a burr buzz cut is uniform the entire way around the head with no fading or taper. But it's slightly longer and utilizes a one or two guard to give a little extra length. If you're buzzing your own hair, a burr could be a pit stop on the way to a shorter style to see how you like the look. That was in April of 2020, I guess, when people were having to cut their own hair.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. See, that was another fact of the day, burr cut.
Yeah.
Equal length over the entire head.
But anyway, the only reason I bring up that story was because after the Suns fan beat the hell out of the Nuggets fan, and his friend even tried to get involved, and eventually they were separated, the Nuggets fans leave, but the Suns fan just goes, Suns in four. Like, that's like his line afterwards.
Oh, that's the iconic screenshot is him, like, I guess people are taking him away or trying to get him pulled back, and he's just got the four fingers up in the dude's face.
Did you see that Devin Booker actually found that guy's Instagram and commented on one of his posts?
Really?
Yeah, that's
the legend.
That's why it was like such a big word, is because like Devin Booker asked, like, does anybody have my man's info? So it was.
Was this after the sweep?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
No, actually, well, he commented on it after the sweep, but it was.
He wanted to know
who
it was.
The fight happened at game three. And so then the Suns won the next one. And so then the guy was like, he was right. It was Suns in four. So it was funny.
So he wins a 2-on-1 fight with the low ground, calls Suns in four, and it happens.
Yeah.
Hopefully no legal action.
I mean,
he's a boss.
He is a legend, right? Like, yeah, if anybody was going to press charge, it's like, nah, dude, like, you're done. Like, just let him walk. He did too many good things.
So I don't know.
Did he start the fight or were they picking on him?
I didn't get to see that part. But, I mean,
mutual instigation, we'll call it.
It did look like at any point when something like that is happening, so the Nuggets fan kind of like acts like he's walking away, but then he goes for the sucker punch. Anytime you're in that sort of situation and a sucker punch is kind of thrown, I automatically give more credence to the guy that's possibly about to take the sucker punch.
And then I'm rooting for him at that point. Like, if I didn't have a dog in the, it's like, oh, okay, okay, now I need this guy to come take care of business. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens there. I do have a couple of headlines to get into really quickly. So, the Olympics are going to be happening. It looks as that's the case right now for Tokyo, which I still feel bad about the guy who designed the 2020 graphic for the Olympics. And now they, of course, have to have it in 2021. Also, someone let me know this. I didn't look this up. I probably could have, but I didn't. Anyway, why is it called Euro 2020? Like, are they...
Because it was supposed to be held last year.
So they're just going to keep the same name?
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes no sense.
It's in honor of the 2020 year.
Right. I mean, I get it if it was like Euro 17, it would still be Euro 17, as in like the 17th time they've played it. But when you set it on a year, and it doesn't take place in that year, but it should have, it's like...
The first time I saw the graphic, I was like, oh man, they're going to get onto that intern for not... Putting 2021.
But no, they're still calling it Euro 2020.
I don't know.
Memorandum.
Apparently Christian Eriksen, the guy who had a heart attack on the field for Denmark, is in stable condition. Everything looks like it's going to be all right with him. I think they're still trying to figure out.
Did we talk about that on the show yesterday?
I honestly can't remember.
I still haven't watched it because I don't like
stuff
like that.
I was watching live.
You
were? Surprisingly, yeah.
I got on Twitter... It was amazing how many people were watching that live.
Yeah, well, it was on ESPN.
Okay.
It was on the main ESPN channel. And so that game was about 43 minutes in.
And he's only 27?
I think he's 29.
29?
But, I mean, still, he's one of the top soccer players in his country and is very well known for those that keep up with the top leagues in soccer. And... As I'm going back and I'm just sitting there, for those who haven't seen it, he is going to get a ball that is out of bounds. Somebody throws it to him, and you just see him start to stumble forward, and then he just collapses over right there. His teammates did a good job of getting in front of the cameras to where you couldn't see what was happening, but they were having to give him CPR. They had to actually resuscitate him and bring him back to life. He was gone.
They had to shock him. They had to put
the
defibrillator.
Yeah, he was gone. So... They were able to bring him back. They ended up... They should have called the game, in my opinion.
Well, they did for a while, right?
Yeah, it was suspended.
Did they let the teams decide?
They asked the players if they wanted to continue, and I heard that they got word that he was alive before they went back.
And responsive. Okay.
Yeah, but I still think...
I mean, that was a pretty lengthy delay.
Yeah.
A couple hours, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Finland ended up beating them. I mean, it was right before the half, so I didn't know what exactly was going to kind of happen there. But
what did they do? Did they just call that halftime, or did they come out, play 2 minutes, and then go back in?
I didn't really look too much into it as far as how they brought it back.
Gotcha.
I do know that Finland ended up winning the game 1-0. Sorry, soccer terms, 1-0. Denmark ultimately lost, but at least they got word that their star player was all right. I don't know. We'll see what comes of it, what his issue might have actually been related to, if they can figure that out. But I don't know. That was just kind of scary. Anyway, but I mentioned the Olympics because Olympic hopeful Shelby Houlihan tested positive for a banned substance.
Mm.
And she is blaming a burrito.
I'm sorry?
She blames a burrito for a positive
steroid
test.
What's her event?
Let's see.
Wait, and what? Shelby Houlihan?
Yeah.
Like Patches O?
That's O Houlihan.
No, I know. That's why I said Patches O.
So
Houlihan.
Houlihan.
Okay.
So American track and field star Shelby Houlihan received a 4-year ban after testing positive for nandrolone, which he blamed on a pork burrito. According to the 28-year-old, this is according to the New York Post, she was notified of the positive results from an out-of-competition urine test given by the World Anti-Doping Agency back in December. Houlihan began searching for the culprit, logging her food from the previous week. She and her team believed the nandrolone detected stemmed from a pork burrito Houlihan bought from a food truck the night before her test. Nandrogen is an androgen, an anabolic steroid that helps humans build muscle.
Did that really read that nandrogen is an androgen?
Yes. It rhymes. Nandrogen is an androgen.
Thank you for that. That's a great line in an article. Yeah.
The World Anti-Doping Agency has noted that.
I mean, is that them using the word to describe? Like, you know how they use the word in the definition, and it's like that doesn't really help me here. Nandrogen is an androgen with an N in the front of it. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Apparently, eating meats like pig can cause the presence of the steroid.
Is that because the pigs are fed that steroid?
I guess. I don't know.
You just went total Zach Galifianakis, right? I guess. I don't know. Fugees and Funyuns.
Oh, I miss that so much. But apparently, it's just 1 week before the start of the U.S. Olympic track and field trials.
God's
and,
law.
Oh, here's what she is.
Sis law.
1,500 and 5,000 meter record holder must confront the severity of this ruling, which could keep her out of the 2024 games in Paris.
That's a four-year ban.
I mean, she's 28 now. Are there many people that are 32 competing in the Olympics?
What'd you say her event was?
1,500 and 5,000 meter.
I don't.
She holds a record in those.
Really?
At least for American records.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if that would technically be like athletic prime or no. It's probably not. Houlihan, pork, burritos.
She says she feels devastated.
What? Wait, just real quick. You're an Olympic athlete. You're training for the Olympics. You're eating a pork food truck burrito, like.
Apparently, it was back in December.
And I'm not, you know, I get it, but I mean, it's like putting diesel in a Ferrari. What are you doing from a food truck? Can't take any chances, man.
Her quote reads, and I'll end it on this: "I feel completely devastated, lost, broken, angry, confused, and betrayed by the very sport that I loved and poured my soul into just to see how good I was. I want to be very clear, I've never taken any performance-enhancing substances, and that includes the one of which I have been accused." First off, I know I said I didn't it there. Has anyone just ever come out and said it, like initially, like, yeah, I actually did take the steroids?
Not when they first get caught.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not saying
how long did
case,
it take Lance Armstrong?
Over a decade.
Right.
What kind of benefits would you even get from this substance? Probably nothing.
It's a muscle builder.
Yeah.
And now I need to look up nandrogen and why.
Well,
it's an androgen.
So we've learned today about the Omaha Zoo and nandrogen being an androgen.
Another cool fact about the Omaha Zoo that I just saw, that chairlift.
Yes.
You won't believe it.
I might.
It goes over the rhinoceros exhibit.
Nope. Wouldn't do that. Are you strapped in? Nice and tight?
Typical chair lift. You just got the bar that comes down over your lap. I mean, imagine dropping a toddler down there.
No, I'm not going to imagine that, you psycho. Really? That's your first thought? Like a toddler versus a rhino?
That'd be a bloody mess.
Maybe not. Maybe the rhino would show compassion. Harambe did. Until they shot him. I mean, you deal with high-flying maneuvers, and that's the first thing you thought is, what if a kid fell into the rhinoceros pit? That's where your brain went?
I mean, if it was a tiny enough kid, the impact would probably kill it because it's about 30 feet.
What the hell is wrong with you?
But if it doesn't die, then you got to deal with the rhino.
Have you seen the video of the rhino taking out that car on the safari?
Rhinos,
dude, I would
not care about anything.
Dude, would not mess with it.
It's not as bad as a hippo.
Could you imagine if rhinos were as mean and angry as hippos?
They'd
rule the world.
They would.
It'd be over. Like, they would just surrender to your rhinoceros overlords if they were that mean. Anything else, Dave? Sorry. We got off on a rhino.
Nah, we're good for today. It's kind of been all over the board for the depot, so.
I thought it was a pretty good depot, bud.
Thank you.
Good.
Managed to get a little bit of everything.
Learned a lot.
I guess tomorrow or some other time during the week, there was a story I was wanting to get into about how, make sure I read this properly. It's about basically how long sperm can last on Mars.
Okay, yeah, not today. That's, jeez.
It's our future.
Spend my dollar, park in a holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving.
Hour three rolls on, three and out, Fan Run Radio. Houston Crest, Davey, Hudson, Adam, Hickman with you. Want to get back into Jay's topic? Don't want to forget that. Thank you, Davey, for the reminder. Neyland Stadium renovations, what's the right number? I mean, we've seen this kind of across college football, with the exception of A&M, who increased capacity. A lot of schools kind of trying to find that perfect fit, the perfect number. He threw out 97,000. Is that...
That's good, as long as it stays above 95.
So 90, is that your cutoff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad
number. There are so many other options these days when it comes to watching games. You don't have to go to the game to have like a really sweet, awesome game day experience.
Well, I think you can kind of tell what they're trying to do. They're trying to increase the in-stadium experience or enhance.
Make it more of a social event.
Yeah.
Especially with the...
I think you actually have to do that nowadays with the advancements in modern technology.
You have to.
And what you can do just by sitting at home.
You have to give people a reason to be there other than the game, because they can now watch the game from literally anywhere.
And people just want to keep up with other games at the same time. And just having the banner go across the stadium saying, oh, Florida's getting beat 10-7 to Georgia right now, like that just doesn't really cut it.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that there'll be kind of a sports bar area where they'll have other TVs set up, you know, underneath the new North End Zone Jumbotron.
But yeah. Which they do if you're in the suites now. I mean, they got TVs on other games.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But obviously not that many fans to get to go in and check on that.
So, like, I want to know is, like, how are they going to do the ticketing for, like, the sports bar and, like, patio area? Like, can anybody just walk in there to the bar and grab a
drink? Was the kind of, that's what I thought it would be.
Is it ticket, like, hey, if you buy a ticket for this, you can go?
It'll probably be a sectioned area where you will just have a normal seat, but that seat also allows you the opportunities to go into, I mean, they kind of do that with like the, oh gosh, the name escapes me right now, but whatever the terrace is, Tennessee Terrace.
Yeah. You have a seat, then you have access to that.
But I mean, anybody could go in there and get their drink and then go back to their seat, correct?
That's what I thought, but it might be a, you know, only 30 people are allowed in here at a time. That's how many seats we have. And if somebody leaves, they let somebody else in. I don't know. You wouldn't want a line
obviously,
there to wait.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they have more rooms at the Titans games, but they have on both the north and south end zones areas where it's just lined with venues as far as like food places you can stop in. And they have like a bit of a patio to where you could sit down, but it's just more open area. But obviously with Neyland Stadium, it's pretty closed off. The north side where the end zone is there's a lot more room to walk around. We've talked about the south end zone and how many problems you currently have there, but I mean, when you look at the renovations, I'm assuming they're eventually wanting to get the audiology department out of there. I mean, when that first started,
I guess you kind of have to, wouldn't you?
It was like dorms way back when. Like, you could live in the stadium.
I think the football team did live in the stadium.
But, I mean, that stuff is still just so outdated. And the next thing they do update will be the south end zone area. Like, it needs work if you're wanting to continue to grow and make the stadium as nice as it can be to get up with the times. I understand the tradition behind it. A lot of things certain people want to know. We kind of joke about it, but I actually know several people that want the troughs in the student section to remain.
It's always a good topic of debate, which I never thought would happen.
But I think Jay's exact question really stemmed around, is it worth giving up the 100,000 moniker to go below that in terms of making it a better experience?
Well, I guess the question for me is, if you go down to 95,000, whatever the number ends up being, is there ever going to be a time where you need to get back up over 100? And could you do that? Because I don't. Once you put in chairbacks and people are paying for that, they're not going to just say, okay, we're lowering your ticket price and the chairback's gone. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, once you put those in, I don't think they just go away.
Well, are
once
they...
you put the video board in the patio area, I don't think you just take that out because, oh, well, we could sell an extra, you know, 400 seats here. And based on just the structure as it is, I mean, you're already double-decked all the way around. Like, I don't think there's a way to add more seats anywhere. So does that become an issue? Based on the current trend, I'd say no. I don't know if there's ever going to be, you know, 10 years from now, is there going to be a – and you kind of said this earlier, like the demand for a ticket might be high, but 97,000 still – I mean, it's a good environment. You know, you're not – it's not like all of a sudden if you go from 102 to 97, it gets quiet in there. So I'm not worried about, like, the environment itself. But I think we all kind of agree, like –
if there's any way you could just keep it, like, maybe even if it's at exactly 100,000, but fans do like just having that sixth figure there.
Yeah, he said 95, if possible, and it seems like maybe it won't be. I think 100,000 is just, there's something special about being in that kind of club. I mean, there aren't very many 100,000 seat stadiums. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Is Alabama over 100 now? They're, like, close, maybe on, like, max capacity. I know A&M, Michigan, Penn State, Tennessee. Texas isn't. There aren't a ton. So I do like the idea of being in that that club. But
Bryant Denny's listed 101,821.
Okay. And that's their max capacity, or is that their record?
It just says capacity.
Okay. If it's 95, it's 95. I just, if it's 97, I guess, you know, once they count everybody, you could probably still have an announced attendance over 100,000. But I do like the idea of capacity being listed at 100,000. And that's no reason whatsoever other than we've been at 100,000 plus for so long, I'd hate to go backwards.
I'll have a little bit of self-awareness and recognize that I'm probably not in the majority of people that are just die hard. I don't know. I've just kind of been beaten down so much over the last decade that I would say I would want that experience to be better. I would much rather watch a game at home now than I would going to Neyland Stadium, and that's setting aside my last experience that I had there. But I just need something more. Like, I'm always wanting to check Twitter while a game's going on to see what the fan reaction is, to constantly be able to keep up with everything else. And now,
well, we've been talking about that for put the Wi-Fi in the stadium and make it amazing.
But even on top of that, now, like, people with gambling being legalized in the state of Tennessee, they're wanting to keep up with their other bets that are just outside of Tennessee football. And I would need something maybe outside of the rare occasion of, like, this is just a gigantic game, which also, having lost so much over, like, we haven't beaten our rivals in a long time. I mean, what is it, 3-27 against Florida, Arkansas now? Or not Arkansas. We're talking about them in baseball.
Hell, it might be. We haven't beat them either.
Florida, Georgia, Alabama, you're 3-27 in the last 30 matchups against those teams. And so I just...
You need something to do once we're down 21 in the third quarter.
Yeah, it's like, because until you can guarantee me that they're going to be good, you're not going to be able to sell me on that seat.
TG tweets in, Bama, LSU, and A&M. For some reason, I thought LSU was close, but not over. Bama, LSU, A&M, and Tennessee are the SEC stadiums, over 100,000. Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and Texas. I did not think Texas was 100,000, but maybe they fairly recently renovated. I thought that was like 88 or something for a while. Those are the only others outside. Like, that's a good list to be in. I mean, obviously, we're not really competing with any of those teams, but I mean that's good football pedigree in that list, even if not currently. So 9 in total. I'd like to be on that list. I'd like to stay on that list, even if we're dead last. But over 100,000, I'd like to be on that list.
I would like to be on that list, but I'm also trying to.
But it's also
review everything else.
It's also worthless to have 100,000 seats and only sell 70,000 tickets. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pointless. Yeah, but if the hope is we're going to be good again ever, I mean, you'd hate to go down to 70,000 just so it looks full, and then all of a sudden, you know, you can't give 30,000 people tickets that they're used to being able to get.
Yeah, because like I honestly wonder if, just with times changing, if you will ever have that same environment that we've seen in the past, like when Tennessee was good.
Like I said, selfish reasons. I just don't want to be off that list. But we're seeing it all. I mean, everyone's kind of right-sizing now. Sad. Very sad. There's a little bit of breaking news in college baseball. SEC football news, ironically, just tweeted out that Bianco is the leading candidate for the LSU job, which I heard a couple weeks ago. I think I brought it to the show. I know I told you guys. I could see him leaving Ole Miss for LSU. But would you be worried about Ole Miss now coming after TV?
No.
Not as much, right?
Nah, not as much.
It is. I mean, it's a good program. They've put money into it. They've got good facilities, great stadium, been there. But surely not, right?
LSU, that's the Alabama baseball. I'd say Ole Miss is like your Auburn.
Fair enough.
Texas A&M, like, the worry with them is they're just willing to spend whatever they want to get their guy.
Yeah, they proved that.
I don't know. I'm not.
But is.
I don't. Like, again, I don't follow SEC baseball that well. I know a little bit about it, but I mean, Ole Miss is not a program that I would be scared is going to come in and take your coach.
I would hope not.
I mean, if they are, then that just shows you that Tennessee is not serious about winning.
Wait, A&M hired Schlossen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're not in the TV running anymore.
No. But I was just saying, like, we were kind
that,
of like,
yeah.
Them,
that was the fear because
like,
they
can offer the money.
Have we seen what he's going to make there, by the way? Did they release anything. That?
They might have.
Because that was only a few days back.
I don't know. I kind of just like, oh, you're hiring the TCU guy. I don't care about the situation anymore. And I just moved on.
Fair enough. Just admit it. You're becoming a little bit of a college baseball guy. Just a little bit.
It's because Tennessee's good. If they weren't, like, I would not care. I couldn't tell you the last time I tuned into a College World Series game.
Not even the World Series? Just like having it on in the background while you're doing something?
No.
Last time
it's summer, so I mean, maybe if it was like in a time where like I wouldn't be outside, but.
Davey Hudson, big outside guy.
Not even that, really.
2016?
Coastal Carolina, Arizona.
See, I did not watch that one. I remember watching some of the Arkansas-Oregon State game.
I was actually on Coastal Carolina's campus while that series was going on, which was a pretty fun time.
So were you there when they won it?
Yes.
Was it a wild time?
A lot of fountain diving.
Fountain diving?
Yeah.
Is that like a tradition there?
I don't know, but I guess when you win a national championship in a sport there, you go find the fountain on campus and everybody jumps in it. A lot of people are doing that.
Not going to give any hate to that.
Great campus. I love that place.
I had a friend do that at the fountain in Turkey Creek one time.
Turkey Creek, huh?
There was no reason why. Just
we put bubble bath in the Gettysview fountain once. Boy, did we get them. I mean, dunked all over that. Take that for a high school prank. Bubbles. We'll hit a quick break. Come back. Final segment, hour number three. Wrap up the show after this. Final segment, oh, the program. Brad in the group thread said, could you imagine Tony Vitello and Lane Kiffin at the same SEC school? I guess specifically Ole Miss. That would be a dynamic duo. I'll just leave it at that. I saw this tweet a second ago. I wanted to see what you guys thought about it. Let's see. Grace at BallerStats with two Z's. Be honest, have you ever yelled at your TV watching sports? Now, don't lie to me, guys. I'll know. Have you ever yelled at your TV, Dave, while watching sports?
Let me think for a second.
Ponder it. Go through all the games.
I think I've threatened to kill a person while watching sports, so I would say I've probably yelled at a TV.
I think I've wrung someone's neck when they told me a score I didn't, like, if I yelled at my TV. I'm yelling about this stupid tweet.
I don't think I've ever watched a sporting event I'm interested in without yelling at the TV.
I yell at the TV when it's teams I don't care about. I yell at refs, umpires, players, fans. I yell at everything. It has to be a joke. Do you yell at your TV while watching sports?
Like, she sounds so curious.
Some people are oblivious.
I mean, with a name like Baller Stats, like, you got, she's got to be a sports person, right?
You think so.
Grace. She died 30 years ago. Yelled at my TV. Yeah, that's a good one. I'll have to ponder that. That's stupid. Absolutely unreal. I need Sunday to get here, man. I'm pumped. Virginia, apparently they got a pretty good pitching staff, but I don't know, man.
I need somebody to take my shift at work Sunday so I can watch it.
2 o'clock? Is that right,
yeah,
Dave?
2 o'clock.
So we're first game Sunday.
Eastern.
Which I see why we're the first game. I mean, the Notre Dame, Mississippi State, Texas, Mississippi State game. I guess that one's a little bit more appealing to the national audience.
Well, it's also, they're an hour behind. If you look at it, like, both Mississippi, Texas, their fan base, like, it's an hour behind. Tennessee, Virginia, Eastern time.
Yeah, but what's the second game time?
7. So 6 their time.
Oh, okay. So they're worried that it might be a little bit too late for...
Well, I don't think it necessarily be too late.
Well, I'm saying the Eastern time zone, they're going to have... They might not get as many viewers for that one as they would for the early game. I buy that. I don't hate it. I actually prefer that, honestly, over waiting all day till 7.
Wouldn't you have more rest for the next game?
Mm-hmm. Which I think is...
Man, it's baseball. I don't know what I'm talking about. You're not going to bring out the same pitcher more than likely. I mean, Dave Van Horn's not going to be coaching in this one.
Dude, I still can't get over that. I mean, that is...
Criminal.
That's got to go down as one of the just most scratch-your-head, boneheaded, what-the-bleep-are-you-doing moves. I mean, is that... I'm trying to think of coaching decisions. I mean, like, that's like Butch Jones not going for 2 in the swamp bad.
Or shotgun 4 times in a row on 1st and goal from the 1.
Kicking the field goal on 4th and an inch from the goal line. I mean, we could do this with Butch. Like, where does that rank? It's got to be up there for all-time just coaching debacles.
Grant Williams starting the overtime against Purdue on the bench.
That might be a good – that might be the perfect similarity. Because it's one thing if, like, in the heat of the moment, you forget to look at the chart or whatever. This is a calculated decision. Here's how we're going to do it. Let's start our best player on the bench in overtime so he doesn't pick up the 5th foul, which he did not pick up when he went in. So you could have potentially had him for the entire overtime. Poor Kevin Cobbs, man.
God, he's such a likable kid.
Like, I didn't hate him at all. I mean,
he's just good.
Yeah,
but he's not done anything to make you upset with him,
right,
as a person.
You were upset how good he was when he was facing your team, but it's not like I didn't have anything to dislike about the guy. But then you see all this stuff after the game, and it's like, dang. Like, he is just a likable, good dude, and his coach completely railroaded him, fed him to the wolves, then kind of embarrassed him and pulled him out of the game off, you know, one bad pitch, his 118th of the night. I wonder, obviously, Arkansas fans, very quiet since the loss. I would love to know
too busy calling us classless.
Well, I haven't seen much of anything after their, you know, exit. But I wonder, like, did Dave Van Horn get heat for that? Did they question him about that after the game? Did he have any just, like, really good answers? Like, well, you know, like... Did anyone press him on?
The only thing he said that I saw was like, yeah, I didn't want to lose this game or anything like that.
Not having thrown.
Not have a chance to put cops out there. So he started him.
Buddy, you're the head coach. You can put him in literally after one pitch from your – I just – it makes no sense to me. I wonder if Arkansas fans are, like, livid with Dave Van Horn.
They should be.
Look, I hate Arkansas baseball. Dave Van Horn can – he can – get lost, but as just an unbiased observer of the game, I saw a lot of fan bases. I mean, Tennessee fans who just completely dislike Arkansas were defending Kevin Copps. I want to see what Arkansas fans think of that. Like, obviously, Dave Van Horn, he's a legend. They won the SEC tournament, SEC regular season, number one overall seed. Very, very tough to win the College World Series as the number one overall seed, but to not even make it while hosting. And then to make that call at that moment.
I mean, did anyone have a doubt in their mind after they're up 21, won the first game 21-2? It's like, I didn't think there was a chance. No, I was like, if they're going to beat this bad, it doesn't matter like what they put out there next. Like, they're just not going to be able to slow down Arkansas.
And they did. Two games in a row, surprisingly. And they rotated the same five pitchers all three games. That's remarkable. That's crazy. It's almost like Dave Van Horn saw how many pitches their guys were throwing and was like, oh, well, Cobbs can do that. We're going to go ahead and play him. Just baffling. Feel bad for the kid. Hope he makes a lot of money. Just hated to see him go out like that. I mean, it's such a weird dynamic. You want to see no one wanted Arkansas to be there.
Yeah, they're the best team in the country.
But I don't know. Like, it's just weird to have that feeling towards another player on a rival now. I mean, we saw.
Okay. He'll come to Knoxville next year and make it right.
Just a little transfer action. I'd take it. Appreciate you guys listening today. Hopefully, Nate's back tomorrow. We'll let you know as soon as possible. The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in all day. Fan Run Radio.